I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The reading this morning comes from Genesis 17, verses 15 through 21. And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her." And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live in thy sight." God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him and make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. He shall be the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you as a season next year."
Thank you, Tammy. Interesting scripture. This morning I was watching the news and they actually had a man on there who wanted to know what it was like to have contractions. So they hooked some wires up to his stomach and this doctor would push a button. Sad part is he was laughing as this was going on, which I knew for a fact was not how that happens. And then I remembered an old sitcom. I don't know if you remember this, Murphy Brown. But Murphy Brown said, "No man will ever know what it's like to have a child until he passes a bowling ball and you know where." So then he'll have some idea of what giving birth is like. So, mothers, it's a great day. It's good to have you here, and we certainly want to honor you. And we've got all sorts of people here this morning, and as I said, as I look around, I see that we also have a lot of mothers. For some of you, your children are long grown up, but you have the experience of having been a mother. And we know that nearly every mother lives her life for another. And that is what the church is meant to be like. As former Bishop Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, put it, the church is the only society that exists solely for the benefit of its non-members. Or, as Jesus put it, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now we know that doesn't mean we seek each other because we're already here, right? I mean, of course we minister to one another, but we're not out trying to recruit anybody in this group because we're recruited. So, as I said earlier, nearly every mother lives her life for another. Those of you who have been mothers, for the love of your child, you have been through the excruciating pain of labor. For the love of your child, you had your sleep broken as you would wake to feed your baby or change her diaper. For the love of your child, you massively reduced your social life. Think how much more you used to go out before you had your children than you did when your children came. For the love of your child, you structured your entire day around things like school drop-off and school pickup times. And on top of all the practical things you did for your child, you spent your time constantly thinking about what would be best for him or her. Nearly every mother lives her life for another. Now, not all women in this church are mothers. And of course, there are other forms of self-sacrifice too, but the mothers here are an inspiration to the rest of us. Why? Because nearly every mother exists not for her own benefit, but for the benefit of her children. Therefore, mothers are a good role model for congregations. As a church, we need to put motherhood into practice in a different context. We need to learn more and more to exist not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of our non-members. Of course, it's easy to romanticize being a mother, but the reality is we know that frequently mothers will have thought, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Do I have to? Especially when it comes to having your sleep broken in the middle of the night. Do I have to? Yet, for love of your child, you got out of bed, comforted her, fed her, and changed her diaper. For love of your child, you did not what you wanted, but was what was best for her. As a church, too, there will frequently be times for each one of us when we say, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. Do I have to? Yet, if as parents we do things we don't want because we love our child, then as Christians, for love of God and love of those who haven't yet come to faith or have left the fold, we will do not what we want, but what is best for them. In our text, we read that Abraham laughed when God said Sarah would give birth. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? First, let me say that laughing when God is making a promise is inappropriate. Not to mention, it's either very brave or extremely foolish. Yet, the truth is, if God told any woman in this congregation that is 90 years old or older, that she will bear a child, I can't help but believe there would be some laughter. Not out of disrespect for our God, but out of sheer shock and bewilderment. There are those who speak of laughing at the absurd, and I believe this fits in that category. In human terms, but in godly terms, nothing is impossible, we know. And creating a mother is no laughing matter. I have a story I would like to share with you, and I believe this illustrates not only the love of a mother, but equally the love of God. And I normally wouldn't do this, but I want you to hear this story, and please listen carefully. See if it describes your life as a mother, or if you're the father, see if it describes your wife's life. A young mother set her foot on the path of life. Is the way long? She asked. And her guide said, yes, and the way is hard. And you will be old before you reach the end of it, but the end will be better than the beginning. But the young mother was happy, and she would not believe that anything could be better than these years. So she played with her children and gathered flowers for them along the way and bathed with them in the clear streams. And the sun shone on them, and life was good. And the young woman cried, nothing will ever be lovelier than this. Then night came, and storms, and the path was dark, and the children shook with fear and cold. And the mother drew them close and covered them with her mantle. And the children said, oh, mother, we are not afraid, for you are near, and no harm can come. And the mother said, this is better than the brightness of the day, for I have taught my children courage. And the morning came, and there was a hill ahead, and the children climbed and grew weary. But at all times she said to her children, a little patience, and we are there. So the children climbed, and when they reached the top, they said, we could not have done it without you, mother. And the mother, when she lay down that night, looked up at the stars and said, this is a better day than the last, for my children have learned fortitude in the face of hardness. Yesterday I gave them courage. Today I have given them strength. And the next day came strange clouds which darkened the earth, clouds of war and hate and evil. And the children groped and stumbled, and the mother said, look up, lift your eyes to the light. And the children looked and saw above the clouds an everlasting glory. and it guided them and brought them beyond the darkness. And that night the mother said, "This is the best day of all, for I have shown my children God." And the days went on, and the weeks and months and the years, and the mother grew old, and she was little and bent. But her children were strong and tall and walked with courage. And when the way was hard, they helped their mother. And when the way was rough, they lifted her, for she was light as a feather. And at last they came to a hill where golden gates flung wide. And the mother said, "I have reached the end of my journey. And now I know that the end is better than the beginning, for my children can walk alone, and their children after them." And the children said, "You will always walk with us, mother, even when you have gone through the gates." And they stood and watched her as she went on alone, and the gates closed after her. And they said, "We cannot see her, but she is with us still. A mother like ours is more than a memory. She is a living presence." I know for many of you, Mother's Day is difficult. For some, it's because children weren't possible. For others, mom is no longer physically present for you to honor. For others, mom wasn't the perfect picture of Christ's love in your home. But on our journey in this life, there are very few more important signs than children at play, and very few individuals that shape our journey more, helping us choose the right path, than a mom. Whether it is the mom of an adopted child, a foster child, or from you and your body, moms are important in this world. Moms play an important role in who we are. God said, "Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him and make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. He shall be the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this season next year." The name Isaac in Hebrew means laughing. Did you know that? So God sees Abraham laughing, and Sarah laughed. And so their child was named Laughing, for good reason. And the irony of this story is this: it was God who had the last laugh, because what God promised happened. And there was Isaac, and there were his children and his children's children. Not only did he make it possible for a 90-year-old woman to have a baby, but he showed the world that mothers are so incredibly important that it is through them that we, all of us, are able to multiply. Remember these words, moms. "And God said to Abraham, 'As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Kings of peoples, mother of nations. May we this day and every day honor our mothers as God has, for God has blessed you. You, all mothers, however you came to be a mother, God is blessing you so that nations may come from you, kings may come from you. Perhaps not in the sense that we read in the Bible, but I know when we look at our children, we see kings and princes and princesses. That is what this is about the love of God and God's love for mothers and mothers' love for their children. May we this day continue to honor those whom God has blessed. Let us pray. Loving God, this day comes, and we are so happy and honored that this is a day in which we can honor our mothers, but we pray that we don't forget that every day is a day to honor our mothers, past and present. We give you thanks for the life that they have given us. We give you thanks that you care so much about mothers, that you continue to bless them, continue to hold them in your loving arms. Be with us, guide us, and help us throughout the week, that we may be as faithful to others as you've been to us and as a mother is to her child. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.